Where is everybody? Has everybody gone on holiday? Seriously.
Everyone is away. But I think those days are gone, you know, yeah. where Dubai used to turn into a ghost town between June and September. But it's awfully quiet,
yeah,
isn't it?
I'm not sure this year. I'm thinking because Ramadan and the summer holidays right. are at the same time, I think people are, yeah, they're either, you know, getting ready to celebrate, so everybody's gone quiet, or they're going home.
Yeah.
Yesterday at work, there was four of us working, working at Motor City. There's four of us working. I'm the only person staying here for Ramadan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everybody else is traveling.
Everybody's gone. And it's funny, actually, because flights are really expensive now.
Oh, and
well.
Airports are a nightmare. Oh. It's so crowded. It's just...
And
yeah.
the internet doesn't work and the phones keep beeping.
We're not connected. yeah. All kinds of problems.
It's causing me stress in my life. Listen, we're talking about YouTube. You had a really interesting story.
Yes, and you know, this last week on Newsweek, there was a very interesting article, and this is what kind of provoked our discussion here about connection and addiction, and is our connection to the internet actually rewiring our brains? And so the article, if you're interested to read it, is called iCrazy, and it's about panic and depression and different types of disorders that can result in, you know, after a prolonged use of being connected to the internet. So Jason Russell is a name that many of us might be familiar with, and Jason Russell was involved in a very personal web documentary that he made about an African warlord known as Joseph Kony. And what happened was before this, he had a half-hearted web presence. His YouTube account was dead for a while. His Facebook and Twitter pages were a trickle of a kid sort of pictures of home garden and updates. So he really wasn't keeping up to date or in track of being online, and there was times in which he would say things like, it's important to turn off our computers and do things in the real world. But it was this past March where Jason Russell struggled to turn off anything. So he forwarded a link to this documentary that I just mentioned, and to make Kony famous for the first step in trying to stop this guy and the different crimes that he was involved in. So he clocked more than 70 million views in less than a week.
Whoa.
So here's someone who was probably known in his own particular circles, but in just a week, this video went absolutely viral, and more than 70 million views in less than a week. And so something happened to Russell as he went through this process. So the same digital tool that had supported his mission, the internet, seemed to tear at his psyche, and it really created lots of problems. And what caused most of the problem was the constant nonstop kudos or criticisms that he received, and things that he was reading online as a response to this documentary that he had made.
Do you think it would be so difficult not to read everything? Do you think we're so addicted to the responses that we get when
absolutely.
We post things?
Yeah, absolutely. The feedback is very much part of the reason we post things. I mean, look at the way Facebook is set up.
Mm.
There are comment boxes, there's like, you know, things that you can tick. So it's not just about sharing something, it's about wanting to get feedback, and how that feedback actually says something about who we are, how we feel, our self-esteem and confidence.
Now, what really interests me is I have a lot of Facebook friends,
mm-hmm.
and I do know everybody on my Facebook, and I do have, I've got something like 200 friends requests, and I think, I know you, but I don't really know you.
Right.
And generally, Facebook, you tend to put something on, and don't think I've ever had any true criticism or anything nasty mm-hmm. or anything. If you look on YouTube at almost every single video, whether it be, you know, a lovely video about, I don't know, the birth of a new child, to a video that is quite political,
mm-hmm.
there is something nasty
really
written.
Really horrible.
Yeah. Really horrible.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder whether that's to do with the fact that we, in terms of Facebook and, certainly Facebook, we are choosing the people who we are allowing to communicate with us,
mm-hmm.
because it must be horrendous. You're absolutely right. 70 million
Yes,
views.
70 million comments. Can you imagine?
Wow.
I think with YouTube comments as well, you can choose a name that's anonymous so that with Facebook, people know who you are. And so the comments that you leave are directly linked to you. Whereas with the YouTube accounts, you can set up some sort of name that may not be you and leave those comments anonymously. And so people might be more open to doing this. So this person that we're talking about, Jason Russell, he slept 2 hours in the first 4 days because he was so excited and also nervous and anxious about reading all these different comments. And he went on to just staying awake and reading these comments and finding out what's going on and what everybody else is saying. On the eighth day of what he calls his 21st century vortex, he sent a final tweet, and it was a quote for Martin Luther King Jr. saying, "If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward." It was after this that he walked back into the real world, took off his clothes, and went to the corner of a busy intersection near his home in San Diego, and he repeatedly slapped the concrete, and he was ranting and raving about something to do with, different things that he hates about his life and spirituality and demons and so on and so forth. So just went on an absolute rage and rant about things that were absolutely nonsense. So afterwards, Russell was diagnosed with reactive psychosis, as we call it. And what this is, it's a form of temporary insanity. And it had nothing to do with drugs, and it had nothing to do with other substances, though what it did have to do, as his doctor said, it's a common experience where people go through this sudden transition from relative being anonymous yeah. to worldwide attention and being connected to something that is so global and receiving so much attention. So this is an example on the far end of the continuum of what this kind of connectivity can do to a person.
And it's amazing because if you think of people who are generally classed as celebrities, and depending on how they become a celebrity, I mean, working in my industry, I've met plenty of musicians and entertainers, but also a lot of people that are athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes generally tend to be a lot better because it's taken them a long time to get to that stage. And I suppose their celebrity status increases the higher, the more they achieve. When you meet people who have been put into a, for instance, girl mm-hmm. band,
mm-hmm.
And they're just burst onto the scene, you can see that they're struggling with it. So to be completely, to have complete anonymity
yeah.
and then suddenly be forced when you've got nobody around you. I mean, that guy wouldn't have had a manager or anything. He probably had loads of people trying to contact him after that, trying to organize,
something.
Whether he was going to be interviewed on the news or... But I think that would be a lot to cope with.
Yeah, and he was in the hospital for, I think, about 3 months, and he had to go through lots of, different types of treatment to try and help him to recover from what he had experienced.
Do you know whether he regretted putting that on YouTube or whether...
I don't know if there have been any official statements or if he's talked since his experience, but certainly the cause received a lot of attention. Some people would argue that it was counterproductive because after his breakdown, nobody took him seriously anymore and thought, here's someone who we thought was very intelligent and created this sensitive documentary to raise awareness on a particular subject. But if this person can't keep it together or has lost their faculties or their sense of well-being, is this someone we can trust? And unfortunately, he gained his fame online, and he also lost it online. So it was an absolute public journey in front of millions of people that can be very embarrassing. Mm. The same we were talking about Facebook earlier. There's an interesting evolution of the way we expose ourselves on Facebook. Apparently, people who first signed up, they would put pictures of, let's say, flowers or the nature. Something to do that's link to them, their star sign.
Yeah.
But not directly. Then the picture would get transformed into you and a group of your friends or family members. It might be slightly further away. And then the picture gets closer and closer. And then people go and get professional pictures done in studios so that they can have them as their profile picture. So this evolution of how we feel or the transformation of what we expose has been described as the same feeling some people have in their car. Mm. You know, how you feel like you're in this bubble, and people might do certain things in the car, not being aware that there's other people next to them that can see them. That's what's happened with Facebook now. People are sharing things and saying things as if they're existing in this bubble,
yeah.
Unaware that people, just because they're not commenting or they're not liking, they're reading this, and it's creating a sort of judgment about you.
Yeah, without a doubt.